Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, brother.
Thank you. Happy Father's Day to all you fathers. It's a privilege to take this time to speak on Father's Day. Actually, we have a Father in heaven. He's a Father of us all. And His day is every day. Praise the Lord. Let's see if I got a spot for this here. I have a word of prayer. Our Father, we do thank you, Lord, that you are real, you're true, you're good, and you're a good Father. And we thank you, Lord, for looking on us, unworthy as we are, and coming down in the person of Jesus Christ to die for our sins and resurrect to give us eternal life. Lord, I thank you and I ask your blessings upon this whole meeting and wherever your name is preached throughout the world today. And bless Brother Lindell a little later on also. And thank you for being so good. And bless this word into the hearts of those that hear it today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Open your Bibles, if you would please, in Philippians, not Philippenses, but Philippians. Okay, a little interpretation there, so won't get called down. I see Billy showed up too. He was supposed to be out today, so I guess, you know, I got double trouble if I mess up. Philippians chapter 1. This is a very special doctrine to me. I'll give you the verse here in a little bit. And I probably won't do it much justice by, well, I think the word itself will do it justice. There's a lot more verses though on this theme, eternal security. I think many of y'all have a good, basis of this, but maybe you just need to be rebooted like a computer and remember your role, where you're at, your position in Christ. And get up and do what you need to do for His honor and His glory, because time is short. Time is running out. Amen. But my message is that it's based around eternal security. It's like this. Many of us probably get insurance for our wife or our siblings in case, you know, when it happens, when we pass away, so they can be assured they'll be taken care of. But you know what people need more than that, though that's a good thing, is eternal assurance. It's to know without a doubt that you're going to heaven when you die, though we're very unworthy. But the sight needs to be put on Jesus Christ. Because if you put your sight on yourself, you'll be double-minded in your life and you probably won't be worth much, though you are eternally saved. But anyway, Philippians 1 and verse 6. God wants us to know that it's His work. Listen to what it says. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Man, that's a good promise. I'll tell you, I love the gospel. I love the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But I remember a time where after I trusted that with all my heart and was saved, I had a time of trial and experience. I guess it's kind of like this. When you're saved, you're born again, right? Right? Amen. You're born again. It's like when you're born in the flesh. I think of Flavio here when he brings his daughter in. I got it right? Daughter? Yeah. Okay. She's so precious. But anyway, one day she's going to have to learn how to walk on her own. Right now, Flavio's carrying her around. And so I fell into that in a spiritual sense, and you might have too, to where you had to learn to know that God's in control. But you had to learn to walk the life of faith. like the child has learned to walk the life that that they have before them in the flesh. But the work is of God. It says, being confident, God wants us confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you. I want to stop there a minute. In other words, you didn't begin this work. Amen. You and I'll tell you, it wasn't the farthest thing on my mind to ask Jesus to save me one day, because I knew I had to be saved eventually. But it really wasn't up to me, because I kept on the road of rebellion, the road of darkness. And one day he came and he knocked on my door. And it wasn't the servant that came to my door that was him. It was Jesus came looking for me. He comes to seek and to save that which is lost. And boy, was I lost. Of course, you might be here today and you don't know Jesus as your savior. You might be in the same position I was in at that one time. Lost. But God came and did a work, and he showed me his word. And I had been planted by others, the word of God, the seed of his word. I've been given his word. And that's why I knew that's who I needed to trust in one day. But when the rubber met the road, I knew it was time to make a decision to receive Jesus Christ. But it was God that did it. It's God's work. Being confident of this very thing, that he which begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. He's going to finish. He's not like us. He's not like us. We begin. I just have my wife tell me some things I need to get, some honey-do stuff I need to do around the house because I hadn't been doing them. What's that mean? I don't always fulfill my word. I don't always complete, but God does complete. God finishes what he began. And what you and I do in between that time of him completing it, it's either for our blessing or for our maybe dishonor at the, I don't know what it might be, at the judgment seat of Christ. But we're still going to heaven. That doesn't mean that, you know, you ought not to do what you can for the Lord and whatever aspect, whatever measure he's given you to do. Being confident of this very thing. God wants you confident. You know, it's not like I think I am. There are a lot of people that have that idea. I think I'm saved. I hope I'm saved. I wonder about them if they're saved. Because God wants you confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Look at another verse in 1 Corinthians 12. I tell you, a lot of this stuff I didn't learn on my own, okay? Been around some good teachers. And I thank the Lord for that. And this is one of those verses that I was taught. And I said, wow. Look at this. Verse chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. We'll start in 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. I remember clearly how this was taught to me. And first of all, it's not a water baptism. It's a Spirit. You look at it. Look what it says. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. When you ask Jesus to save you, ask him to save you, the best way you knew how, he put you into Jesus Christ. You were baptized spiritually almost 2,000 years back into Jesus Christ. And it says, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, no matter what race, what person, he came to save all, whether we be bond or free and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. And I put a little note here, river of life. God's given us his water of life. He's given us that to drink of him. We've drank of him. And I just praise the Lord. I think little note, side note here. A lot of us, our water has become a little stagnant. Not that Jesus is stagnant, because he's ready to come on out, but we need to ask him, we need to allow him to do that. But it's a spirit baptism. So it's nothing you can change about it. For by one spirit, you've been put in Jesus Christ. Into that, where many members put into Jesus Christ, into that one body, almost 2,000 years ago. And we've been made to drink of the spirit of life. Let's look at a quick verse in Romans 8. Romans 8. Verse maybe 2. It says here in verse 8, so that then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Well, that's another, that's a little more degree of spirituality or knowledge that it's hard to explain but hey, it's a fact. We're not in the flesh. We're not in the flesh. I don't want to sound so super spiritual that we don't see each other in the flesh. But we're not in the flesh. If so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. It's a done deal. And we get so caught up with the fleshly things. We get so caught up with the now and the immediate, what we can see, when we ought to be seeing with the spiritual eyes down the way. And see, and understanding our position, that we are spiritual beings, and it can't be undone. Cannot be undone. And we'll see that a little further, but in verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the spirit is life because of righteousness. So that's another thought. But anyway, the fact of the matter is we are already in Christ and spiritual beings before his presence. Man, I'm just thankful. I'm just thankful for what I have. And you ought to be too. Be thankful for a place that has taught you some things that when you go somewhere else, you say, man, I need to get back there again. Not that I'm lifting anybody up here, but let me tell you, if this place didn't have the word of truth and really continue being based on it, I'd have been gone a long time ago. Because I don't like to be easily fooled or played around with. And that's just a little insight. I'm telling you, but I'm just thankful that we have truth here and it comes out of the word of God. We have God's word, and I'm just thankful for what I have. And I visited last week. I was out, went to another town and visited a church, and I said, wow. And you know what? That church was without a pastor, but they were doing the best they could. And I said, wow, that's what they need is a pastor. I don't know. I don't think it's my calling to go over there, but you know what? I'm thankful we have what we have here. Amen. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. This is probably many of y'all know this is one of my favorite areas of the Bible, and I just love it so much. But look at what it says in chapter 2 of Ephesians and in verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Rich in mercy. I mean, talk about a rich man. You know a rich man that has a lot of money, and it's like no lack, whatever. He takes care of business in the financial sense because of what he has. But God being rich in mercy, mercy to cover your and my sin, and even the worst, the most heinous things that have happened out there, God can forgive. I tell you, I'm a witness of it. I'm a witness. I've seen some bad people, done some bad things, had some great mercy. And not because they just said, I believe in Jesus, because they were in a situation they were in. I can say my spirit bore witness with their spirit that they were a child of God. God is rich in mercy. And then he says, even when we were dead in sins, hath, I think somebody shared this recently, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved, and hath, present tense, raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. You see me here, I see you there, but we're those that are saved, those of us that are saved, we're sitting down right now in Jesus Christ. You know what that tells you and me? We can rest. Oh, now hold on. We can rest in our salvation. But while we're here in the flesh, we need to be busy in God's business. But we can rest. You can rest. You've been put in Jesus Christ, baptized in Him, and He came into you by His Spirit, gave you that river of life, that water that flows, that everlasting spring. He put that in us. It's a done deal. Man, there's a lot of people filling the pews today that they don't have this truth. They're in church to try to help them get right with God, which in one sense is good, but you can't be saved by your church attendance. And there's a lot of people that they're being pressured to give your money, do this, do that, or else. When these brothers, these pastors, they preach against sin and all that, you know, it's for us to learn, because we have a rebelliousness about us that's constant. If it's not in action, it's in thought. And so we should not, and I say myself, I should not get upset when they start harping on things that come close to home. And just take it. And just take it. Because it's a good thing. But I want to assure you today that we're already sitting in heavenly places in Christ right now. Man, I tell you, that's like, woo, man, yeah. It's like, you know, if you're on a deathbed and you can't even pray, some of us, it's hard to pray. I'm speaking for myself. It's hard to pray just when I have my right mind. It's hard to pray some good prayers up to God. But if you're on a deathbed and you can't pray real good and your mind, but you've been saved, you can't tithe, you can't give, you can't preach or witness or give somebody good counsel, but he can rest. That person can rest, saved and going to heaven, because they have trusted Jesus Christ and what He's done for him. I'm thankful for the Lord that I am sitting in heavenly places right now. Wow, if I could actually see that, which God ain't gonna let me, I'd be really jumping up and down, you know. But by faith, without faith, it's impossible to please God. By faith, I know it. By faith, I accept it. And by faith, I am very thankful of it. Let's go to 2 Timothy. Get my notes here right. 2 Timothy 1:12. Well, give me a minute. There we go. All right, 2 Timothy 1:12. For the which cause I also suffer these things, the Apostle Paul saying here, talking about him being imprisoned, what have you. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I put a little side note, he, not me. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. I'm not, you know, you can't believe in yourself. If you believe in yourself, you're in what you can do, forget it. I mean, give it up. But I'm thankful. I'm not putting my faith in myself or anybody else. I'm thankful that I have my faith in Jesus Christ. And he went through some things. Paul went through some things. He says another area wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. You know, he was seen as an evildoer, and he suffered trouble, of course, being imprisoned, and his word, his testimony not being believed. That was for reference, 2 Timothy 2:9, and then back over where we're at here for 2 Timothy 1:8 says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." Of course, that's another thought, but we see that Paul himself went through much suffering. He said, "Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed," because he knows that whatever suffering he's going through, whether it's in his case, I'm sure it wasn't because of his wrongdoing, but even if you're suffering because of your wrongdoing, or if not, you're going through some suffering, we ought still not to be ashamed and know whom we have believed in. We're not just believing in something out there that's just maybe not even out there. No, we're believing something that's out there. It's God. And he's more present than you and I, than that person sitting next to you. He's here. He says, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst." He's sitting right next to you. He's everywhere. He's right here. He's in that church I was telling you about. He's all around. God is all and in all. Do you know whom you have believed in? You know, when I tell you, I'm telling you myself, okay? I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to tell you, do you know whom we have believed in? I know. Life is an everyday thing. But we believed in somebody great, and that's God himself. And I'm thankful I'm persuaded, like the apostle says here, that he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. You committed one day, if you've asked Jesus Christ to save you, one day, you committed yourself to him, and you didn't say, I'm going to try to be faithful. Well, you can say that, but you didn't commit yourself on any of your criteria or any of your, righteousness. You said, "I commit my soul to you. I hear you died for all my sins. I'm trusting in you." The Bible says here, that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I remember one of my siblings, one morning, I might have been in the kitchen, and he walked in, and he told me, "Dad, I don't want to go to hell." And I said, "Wow, I like what I do. I can't force him to be saved," but I explained to him, and you know what? He called on Jesus to be his Savior. And to this day, he's persuaded. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that I can say that my children are persuaded. And I am thankful for that, because that's the most important thing besides circumstances in this life. But on another, getting back to this, let's go to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. I might give you some time there to take a little break, but or maybe a long break. But thank you. John chapter 10. I'm in the right place. Thanks. I appreciate that. This is one of those other special verses. Chapter 10, John, it says in verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." You know, I remember this, that's just, of course, God came down in Jesus Christ. You know, it's Jesus said he's in my hand, and he shall never perish, and then he's in the Father's hand. That just tells me I'm in good hands. I'm in good hands, and it's God himself. And he says, "And no man shall pluck him out of my hand." You know who that means? Someone can lie to you. And I've known some people that have been deceived by other men, and they're believing some other thing now, but they might truly be saved, but they got deceived by these deceivers. But regardless, they need to come back and get back to the sound doctrine. But you know what? They're secure. They're going to be surprised. Wow, why didn't I just get back into the book? Why, instead of believing this other man? And regardless, that man couldn't pluck him out of God's hands. Can't. And I'm going to give you another insight if you don't know it already, which you might. But you can't even pluck yourself out of God's hands. I can't. That is no license. That is grace. That's God's goodness and His grace and His, man, it's just amazing. He's great. He says, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Wow. Man, this is good. When I got a hold of that, I was like, wow, this is good. I praise the Lord for it. I'm double secure. I can't even take myself out of God's hands. You can't take yourself out of God's hands. Man. He just wants us to believe in Him. Look at 1 John chapter 5. You know, God's not in for divorce. Are you with me? He's not in for divorce. I'm not going to get into teaching on divorce in the Bible, because God does talk about some things about divorce, but I'm not going there right now. But God's not for divorce. And if you've been divorced, I'm not picking on you. I just want you to know that. But God does, when He says yes, He means yes. He means yes. That's why I say I got a good father, and yeah, we are His bride, and we got a great husband, okay? And I just thank the Lord that He's not going to divorce me, nor you. And I remember one time that I was hearing a very good speaker back then. And that brother had some great messages. It was during a revival conference. Some great, powerful messages. And some of y'all experienced that here. And he was used instrumentally in my life for the work of the call of the ministry. And I was just, wow, blessed by his messages. Then one day, the Holy Spirit used one of his messages to turn that thing back around on me. And it had to do with check yourself. Are you truly a child of God? I'm like, wow, I was so convicted. The Holy Spirit of God hit me, nailed me. And I said, whoa. I knew I couldn't go back to my wife. Much less I couldn't go to Brother Lindell to say, help me out with this. I mean, sure, they're going to lead me to go back into the Bible. You know, that's what I did. I mean, I'm thankful for the help they give, but that help is the right thing. Go back to the Word of God. You know what? I did. I was looking up these same verses that I'm reading to y'all. I said, yeah, but I know that. And yeah, and I know this. And I'm like, but I'm still convicted. And I got to this text. Look at it. 1 John 5, and then I'll get down to it, but let's read a little above. Verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. I said, yeah, thumbs up, right? Wow, but I still was convicted. I said, I know that truth. I've read it up 10 times. I know that. Then I read a little further. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. That you may know it. I said, wow. Yeah, I know that verse too. I'm telling you, to me, it's funny now. Back then I was crying all through it. I was like, I know that, but I'm still convicted, like I felt lost. Felt, okay? You can't go by feelings. I felt it, and it might have been, the Lord convicted me, but the devil in my mind telling me, you just don't feel saved, and you're probably not, and he's whispering all these things in my ear, and I knew that I had committed to him. I was persuaded that he was able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. I knew all that. I said, well, yeah. But I kept reading a little further. In verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in him. That's where the light came back on, if you will. Confidence, I had it like, well, yeah, I haven't been this good. I haven't been that whatever. But it came back again, confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, and when you ask for assurance or going back, if you ask for salvation, that is his will. He's not willing that any perish, but that all come to repentance. He's not willing that men die in their sin. He's not willing for that. The confidence is in him that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Like Brother Linda would say, he that made the ear. Yeah, I think the word says it. He that made the ear, can't he hear? And I was thinking about what Linda said, that the last thing to go, usually when a person's passing, is their hearing. But anyway, he that made the ear, can he hear? And he does hear. He hears everything. Everything. He hears those thoughts in your heart right now. Yeah. You don't need no hearing aid. I ain't mocking hearing aids. I was told, you got to go get your hearing checked. And I did. My ears are okay. But sometimes I don't hear well. But he hears well. He hears everything, and he hears when you call according to his will. And man, I said, wow, he heard me. He heard me. And he heard me back when, and now I just got, and from that day on, my life totally changed, faith-wise. I mean, in other words, I'm not saying I have great faith, but I can say that I have assurance faith. I have faith that has, like the grain of mustard seed, that has removed that mountain of doubt. That, am I or am I not? Does he love me? Does he love me not? Pulling the petals on the flowers. No, he loves me. Yeah, he does. Praise him. He loves you too. You trusted him as your Savior. But let's read one more verse. And if we know, here's another added thing. If you got to know it, that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. That was like, wow, double blessing right there. Those two verses right there, 14 and 15. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. That's why some of our prayers aren't answered, because it's not according to his will. But we keep praying anyway, right? Because we don't know everything. But we know that salvation is of his will. So you have that petition. You have it. You have eternal security. You're not going to die and go to hell. You're not going to mess it up in any way. You can't pluck yourself out of God's hands. And what you committed to him, he is going to fulfill it. He's going to perform that work. You are his work. And it says another area, the operation of God. God has done an operation on this heart. And he's done an operation on you if you've asked Jesus to save your soul. I'm thankful it's the operation of God. It's his work. And it's a perfect work. Because if it was our work, very imperfect, wouldn't it be? There's a lot of people out there trusting in them adding to what God's already done. I don't know. There's a lot of thoughts come there, but let's just go to, Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Before I give you the verse, there's another verse in, I think it's 2 Timothy, says, if any man nameth the name of Christ, let him depart from iniquity, because he knows his own. It might have been right there where we was at a while ago, but He knows. He knows who's his own. Just like you know your own. You know who your children are. You have no problem with that. And he knows his own. He knows you. But he also says, depart from iniquity. So what I'm telling you today, what I'm bringing out this morning, some of y'all know it very well. But it's not a license. It's not for us to say, well, and we are. Once saved, always saved. But we can't have that attitude. Well, I can do whatever I want. Because he says, depart from iniquity. And he's a good father, and he does discipline his own. So I say this is a very great doctrine, eternal security. But don't take it wrong like you got a license to do whatever you want. If you're his, he knows who you are. And he might let you, get away for a little while, but you won't get away. We won't get away. But here's another verse that goes along with that thought. Galatians chapter 5, and in verse 13, it says, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. We've been made free. We've been made free. We are free. And on that point, we've been made free that we shouldn't live under condemnation. We shouldn't put ourselves back under the law like they were doing here. Because you can't please God in the flesh. And they were trying to please God in the flesh by doing the law. But God has made them, he made them free, like he made us free from the curse of the law, free from that condemnation of having us think that we could please God in the flesh when we can't. But also that goes on the other end, apart from trying to do right and not being right, because there's a lot of people that try to do right and aren't right because they're justifying themselves by what they do. But at the same time, he gave us liberty, not for any occasion of the flesh to do whatever we want to do. But he made us free that we might serve him. That we might serve him. In other words, before, you didn't have that liberty. Before, you couldn't serve God. You and I couldn't serve God. You thought you were serving God when you weren't saved, but you can't please God in the flesh. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. We cannot please God in the flesh. But I can say that we please him by faith. You'll see it in this chapter. I don't want to get lost in the text right now, so I didn't mark it. But the thing is, we please God by faith. But at the same time, because we have faith in God, doesn't mean that we have liberty for the occasion of the flesh. So I wanted to make that clear, because a lot of times this can be misinterpreted. I've had people ask me, well, okay, if I'm saved, always saved, then I guess I can do this and get and that. No. God sees all things, and he's a great God. He's a great God of love. And he's also a God that judges. He knows, you know, we're going to stand before him at the judgment seat of Christ for what we did in our bodies, whether good or evil. So it's not a game that we ought to be playing. So it's a bottom line is we've been made free. We're at liberty to serve him. We couldn't serve him before. So I'll just thank the Lord now that though men might say, you're not worthy. Or I might say, I'm not worthy. That might have been one of my first words coming up here. I'm not worthy to be up here. And you know what? I am not worthy to be up here. But I'm up here because of God's grace. And I am up here because he made me free. He gave me liberty. And now to serve him and to serve one another in love, like the Bible says. Not just one another here, but the world out there. So God help us. Help us do his will and help us enjoy our resting place that we are in sitting down in heaven right now. And I'm just thankful for that we have such a wonderful book before us and a wonderful truth. May God bless you.